The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. As per request, we've got a rebroadcast of an interview from earlier this year with author Jonathan Sarny, who wrote a book about Grant and the Jews. Fascinating book. I still recommend it. I still have it sitting on my shelf in prominence. And as an interview, if you didn't hear it, it's worth listening to. And I'm going to listen to it again because I thought it was a really awesome interview. We got wonderful music. It is the portion of Ki Savo, which always reminds me that Rosh Hashanah is coming up in like 2 weeks because Ki Savo is read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Oh my goodness. Where did the summer go? Dynamite, awesome Hasidic story at the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An incident which happened at a party in East Lansing last week is being investigated as a possible hate crime. 19-year-old Zachary Tenen, a sophomore at MSU, was beaten unconscious and then had his mouth stapled by two men at the party. Tenen was asked if he was Jewish. The men then gave the Nazi salute and said Heil Hitler before beating Tenen. 20 people watched as did not come to their aid. This is according to the family. Tenen did go under surgery to fix a broken jaw. Lansing police believe that they have evidence that this was not a hate crime and have commented to yours truly that this is an ongoing investigation and witnesses are being questioned, but at this time it is being treated as any other unfortunate assault. The IDF captured an axe-wielding Palestinian terrorist who attacked and wounded a Jew in the community of Mala Livona. Medics treated the victim for light to moderate wounds to his chest. Security personnel scouted the area under a barrage of rocks thrown by local Arabs and managed to catch the attacker. Egyptian soldiers killed 11 terrorists and captured 23 others in the Sinai. Cairo said it will escalate its war on terror in the Sinai Peninsula, where Bedouin, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists have exploited a vacuum of power and taken control over large areas. One woman in Sderot suffered from shock after a rocket from Gaza hit her house. This is very lucky. That's all it was just shock. Two other rockets were fired from Hamas-controlled Gaza with no reported injuries. An Egyptian court convicted 76 people on charges of attacking the Israeli embassy last year. During the attack, parts of the embassy were set on fire. 75 of the Egyptians were given one-year suspended sentences, while one of the defendants was given a five-year prison sentence in absentia. The Israeli embassy was stormed by protesters who were angry over the killing of Egyptian guards by Israeli troops while the Israelis were pursuing terrorists. India's Supreme Court upheld the death sentence of the only surviving gunman of the deadly 2008 Mumbai attacks that killed 166 people. A Mumbai court convicted 22-year-old Mahmud Ajmal Kasab of murder, waging war against India conspiracy and terrorism in May of 2010, and sentenced the Pakistani national to death. French prosecutors, this is the first time we've ever had three stories involved in court cases right in a row from different countries. French prosecutors opened an investigation into the death of former PA chairman Yasser Arafat in 2004. It seems that traces of plutonium were found on Arafat's body, and he was possibly poisoned with radioactive material. Northern is an interesting story. Northern coastal Israel experienced an extremely rare August occurrence. Rain. It never rains in Israel. You talk about never rains in California. It does not rain in Israel in the summertime. Thursday morning's rain lasted for more than half an hour. The Kinneret, which is in the eastern Galilee, was unaffected by Thursday's rain. Speaking about the Kinneret has fallen 74.5 centimeters since last May, which is basically the end of the rainy season, due to pumping and evaporation. The lake's current maximum level is 212 meters, 94 centimeters above the upper red line, which is like really close, below which pumping water would be dangerous to the Kinneret. Earlier this week, listen to this one. Earlier this week, Israeli officials said that by 2014, they expect to be able to provide nearly all Israeli households with 85% of their water usage from desalination or recycled water sources. I hope they can keep them separate. Anyway, the shekel, I was talking about Israel, the shekel rose against the world's currency this week. Currently, there are 4.02 shekels to the dollar. That is really high, which is really good because my daughter's rent is paid in shekels, and her rent went down from 385 to 325 this month. I am very happy. Anyway, and finally, two figurines, one of a ram and the other of a wild bovine, possibly a wildebeest or buffalo, which experts claim are over 5,000 years old. You're talking times of Adam, were found in an area being dug up for the widening of the Jerusalem-Tel Aviv highway. Wow, that's really interesting. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Fenman here. You're listening to The Jewel Show. I'm on live with Jonathan Sarnie, author of When General Grant Expelled the Jews. How are you today, Jonathan?
Good morning. Very well.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I have to tell you a story. When I first saw the first reviews of When Grant Expelled the Jews, I was immediately thrown back to fifth grade. I had a fifth grade teacher who was a Civil War buff. He was a very smart man. This man had one of these like brains that held everything. And he would convey like zillions of pieces of information. And I remember one telling me, we're actually up to the point in fifth grade, we were studying about the Civil War. And he said to me, Finman, did you know that General Grant actually issued a proclamation dispelling Jews from his territories under his command? And from that moment on, I hated General Grant. I mean, you understood. That's as far as we got, because we didn't. The unit ended with the Civil War, and we never actually got to do General Grant's presidency. So I always had in mind that General Grant was like probably the worst president that ever existed. And here I'm reading your book, and it's a pleasure to have you on. And let's talk about General Grant and the Jews, Jonathan Sarnie.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I think most people, even most Jewish encyclopedias to this day, know the story the way you described it. But the interesting thing is that late 19th century Jews didn't feel that way about Grant, and that's why when he died, he was very widely mourned across the country and in really all synagogues. They considered him someone who had been a national hero and who repented of what he had done. So they had much more positive views of Grant than most people have today in the Jewish community.
Indeed, indeed. Let's go back to the beginning. We're talking here. This is the 1862. This is we're in the throes of the Civil War, and at this point in history, I suppose it looked like it could really go either way. We could be all whistling Dixie right now instead of the Star Spangled Banner if we were living in 1862. And Grant issues what's referred to as General Order Number 11. I was under the impression as a 10-year-old it was called General Order because it was issued by General Grant. That would be my assumption.
Well, I mean, different generals also issued orders, but it was the 11th order that he issued. Each general had his own set. So you have general order number 11 of other people as well. But in this case, it is the 11th such general order that Grant issued.
Okay, let's for people who are not Civil War buffs, what's going on? Where is Grant? And what's the whole, if you could just like paint the picture that General Grant, who is trying to win a war, is faced with right now, Jonathan.
Sure. Sorry. We're in 1862. That means it's prior to the Battle of Vicksburg, which really is going to establish his reputation. He is beginning his move on Vicksburg. He's in Holly Springs. He is a little depressed. Hasn't yet had a major victory. Isn't on the best of terms with General Halleck, who is the commander in chief. And he believes that the best way for the North to win the war is to enforce this blockade of the South. He's, of course, a great believer in sieges, as Vicksburg will prove. And instead of the blockade, what he discovers is that all sorts of people are running the blockade, are smuggling, are making lots of money. His troops capture a certain number of Jews engaged in that activity. And he concludes that the Jews are smugglers. And, of course, he gets particularly angry, as I describe, when his own father, Jesse Grant, cooks up a scheme with the clothing manufacturers, the Max, Henry Harmon and Simon, whereby he will get them permits from his son to move cotton from the South to the North, and will help them get it to New York, and in return, they will give him 25% of the profits. And those profits were very substantial. Cotton sold cheaply in the North and was very expensive in the South. So when he sees that his own father is engaged in a clandestine illegal scheme with Jews, he in high dudgeon, issues an order expelling Jews as a class from his war zone. In many ways, instead of expelling his father, he expels the Jews.
He's got to go home to dad once in a while. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the occasion. I think the cause, as I said, is broader. His deep unhappiness, as many others were unhappy with the amount of smuggling between the South and the North, and the inability to really maintain the blockade that he thought would win the war. He
felt
that these were traitors. Yeah.
Okay. Now we need some more background information over here. 1862 is still before the mass migration of Jews from Europe to the United States. How many Jews lived in the United States approximately?
The Jewish community had been growing rapidly owing to immigration from Central Europe. We had about 150,000 Jews in the United States on the eve of the Civil War, up from, say, 15,000 in 1840. So it gives you a sense of how rapidly the community was growing, almost all of them Jews from Germany and Poland.
Uh-huh. There is a rapid rise in 20 years. What's the general population of the United States at that time? Approximately,
the general population is much more. Jews are approximately, I've got that number here.
I mean, Jews are currently like 3% of the population.
Approximately half of 1%.
Half of 1%. So now we've grown to like to be 3%. Okay. So they're a very small minority. General Grant at this time, if you're talking Vicksburg is Mississippi you're talking about currently. So how many Jews are in his, they call them departments, in his territory?
Right. Well,
this is the western part of the United States
area,
at that point.
Memphis, Tennessee, was part of his department, and that had several hundred Jews. Some of them clearly there to trade, to smuggle, whatever. But that had a significant community. You had about 30 families in Paducah. And then you had a whole series of Jews who were there as traders. There's certainly...
That's traders with a D, not traders with a T.
Yeah, with a D, right. You certainly had thousands of Jews, several thousand within the territory, but far fewer are actually expelled. That's one of the mysteries I faced while researching it. Why, hey, Grant issues an order. How come all the Jews weren't driven out of Memphis? And the answer, I suggest here, is that very soon after he issues the order, his troops are attacked. And as part of that attack, a lot of the telegraph lines are cut. And so news of the order travels very slowly. And, of course, nobody in Washington even knows of the order because the telegraph lines are down, and that will become quite significant later when we see Caesar Kaskel, who's one of those Jews expelled, going to Washington, and they haven't seen this order at all. They're not even sure that such an order has been issued. They don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. So much for communications. Yes, indeed. So the amount, the number of people who are actually affected by General Order Number 11 issued by General Ulysses S. Grant wasn't very many, but the provocation was there. It was sort of like I could imagine Jews who had left Europe to the promised land where it was paved with gold and all you had to do was pick up the stuff and put it in your pocket and anybody could go and, you know, become like a great American, are suddenly now faced with expulsions like they've been getting for 1,000 years in Europe. It must have rang very high. Very high among Jews.
The anxiety is enormous. I think the Jews felt... you know, this wasn't the kind of thing that should happen in America. And frankly, had Abraham Lincoln not reversed the order, who knows how many Jews would have been expelled and whether other generals would have issued like orders. So what's important here really is the fact that as soon as Lincoln becomes aware of the order, he rescinds it.
Okay, so Lincoln gets there's a few some bit of politicking. Lincoln rescinds the order because he's not going to have such a thing happening on his watch. At what point did it hit Grant that he had done the wrong thing by expelling the Jews?
Well, it's hard to know exactly. He certainly criticized in Congress for the order at the time in 1863, but I think it really comes home to him in 1868 when he runs for president and suddenly his opponents make a big deal about this order. How can a man who wanted to expel Jews as a class from his war zone considered the right kind of person to be president of the United States? And the order is much discussed. And after Grant is elected, he issues an apology, that he doesn't sustain this order, it shouldn't have been issued. He wants everybody to be judged as an individual, and it's a kind of unprecedented apology from a man who's just been elected president. You may ask why he didn't issue it before. Apparently, some people had seen it before, but in those days, a candidate didn't want to be seen as pandering for the votes of a particular group. Mm-hmm. He thought that wasn't respectable, so he issues it later. Now, I, of course, wondered, well, anybody can issue a letter. What we really judge is by a man's actions. And that's why his presidency is so important, because we can really see from 1869, when he enters the White House onwards, how his actions demonstrate that he's a different kind of person. He has a Jewish advisor. He appoints Jews to significant positions in government. Mm-hmm. And when Jews are oppressed in Russia and in Romania, he speaks out and even takes action in order to support them.
Okay, I want to talk about this soon, but let me just one second before we get into that. Just I have one question for that. Our guest, if you're just tuning in, is Jonathan Sarny, who's written a book called When General Grant Expelled the Jews. It's a Civil War history book. It's a fascinating read. It's a great read. I did it in three sittings, I would say myself, and was just spellbound to it. Let's go a little bit before. One question about the election. You brought up that General Order Number 11, expelling the Jews from Grant's territory as a general during the Civil War, was brought up during the election campaign by his opponents. Was Horace Greeley, who was his opponent, was he a known, philo-Semite? Was he known as a lover of Jews, or is just this was a political ploy? They really, if it would have been, they really didn't care about Jews.
Well, in 1868, Horatio Seymour Greeley is his opponent in 1872, but I think the 1868 election is even more significant. Seymour had been governor of New York. What's important about the Democrats, that is the opponents of Grant, is frankly that they're an openly racist party that at that time that wanted to overturn Reconstruction. Wanted to withdraw troops in the South and really made clear in their words that America should be a white man's country and
most likely a white Christian man's country.
Well, they're right. They disassociated themselves, so didn't want black votes. Seymour, when he is nominated, says that if elected, he will prevent the people of our race from being driven out of the country or trodden underfoot by an inferior and semi-barbarous race. We have forgotten the kind of language that once was used in this country. And, of course, that's important because imagine Jewish voters in 1868. On the one hand, you have a party that is openly racist, that is deeply conservative, that wants to undo laws that had opened up possibilities for blacks. And on the other hand, you had a man running as a Republican who had expelled Jews as a class from his war zone. So for Jews who were sympathetic to the aims of the Republican Party, the problem was, do you vote for a party that you think is bad for the country, meaning the Democrats, just in order to avoid voting for a man, Ulysses S. Grant, who has been very bad for the Jews? And it really posed a tough conundrum for many Jews Do I vote in this election with my American hat on? Do I vote with my Jewish hat on? How do I balance my sense of what's good for the country and my sense of my obligations as a Jew?
Okay. Now, so you mentioned that there were major problems going on in Romania with the Jews. There was all kinds of things going on, and Romanian Jews needed a haven. And General Grant stepped up to the plate. Could you explain that, please, Jonathan?
Yeah. Romania is seeing very significant persecutions of Jews. There are people in the Romanian parliament who think it would be good to throw all the Jews into the Danube, something they try and do years later in the Holocaust. There is outrage in the papers, and Ulysses S. Grant does an amazing thing, really. He appoints a Jew named Benjamin Franklin Peixoto from a famous Sephardic Jewish family as consul to Romania, it is perfectly clear that Peixoto is going to spend much of his time helping and supporting the Jewish community, and letter that Grant gives Peixoto really makes clear that he is being allowed to serve as consul so that he can work for the benefit of the people who are laboring under severe oppression, meaning the Jews, he says that the United States, knowing no distinction of her own citizens on account of religion or nativity, naturally believe in a civilization the world over which will secure the same universal liberal views. That's an amazing statement in many ways, because most countries at that time had the attitude, you do not interfere. Do not interfere in the internal actions of other countries. Human rights was not on the agenda of most countries. And suddenly, Grant is arguing that we believe in a civilization that will secure human rights and religious rights, especially to all people. And we know that Peixoto actually spent most of his efforts on behalf of Romania's Jews. So even the use of diplomacy to help a persecuted minority was something quite extraordinary and unprecedented at that time.
Did it have its desired effect?
Well, I can't say that anti-Semitism ended on account of Grant's views, obviously.
And there was no mass immigration
not.
To
avert. Right, but on the other hand, this man spends 5 years in Romania, I do think that what's important here is that he helps Jews. He spreads the idea that America is a very different kind of land, and that, of course, explains why lots of Romanian Jews later emigrate to the United States. And I think the fact that a proud and self-identifying Jew represented the United States in Bucharest delivered a message that America is different, and certainly it underscored the fact that Grant had come a long way from the general who expelled Jews as a class from his war zone.
We're unfortunately running out of time. I got a couple bunches of more questions on this because I'm just absolutely inspired by this. But after he would be was after his presidency, General Mrs. Grant went on a tour around the world, and one of their stopping points was Israel, which he hated because at that point it wasn't even a third world country. Was his feeling a need of going to Israel a part of this whole repentance for General Order Number 11, or was it more just an idea of wanting to go visit the place which he considered the birthplace of his religion?
Well, I think probably the latter. Quite a few Americans, think of Mark Twain, travel to the Holy Land once steam becomes available and you could travel safely to foreign countries. But he does meet with Jews while he's in the land of Israel, and that's significant. We should also mention he's the first president to attend the dedication of a synagogue, Addis Israel, in Washington, that even at the very end of his presidency. Even late in his life, in 1881, when, of course, there are terrible persecutions of Jews, the pogroms in Russia, Ulysses S. Grant is one of the first to put his name forward on a petition to support Jews and to call for a demonstration against what was being done to them. So really, to the very end of his life, we see Grant having a kind of special relationship with Jews. He also befriended lots of Jews, and I think that's why they mourned him deeply. They understood that he had repented. It's only in the 20th century, when Grant's general reputation falls like a stone and he's blamed for, especially by Southerners, for his liberal policies of Reconstruction and for a lot of the problems that take place during his presidential years, that the Jewish community forgets that this man had repented. And they say, oh, in addition to all the other bad things he's accused of, he was bad to the Jews as well. The hope of my book is to recall the other side of the story, which Jews certainly remembered when he died and for some years afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's going to do it. And I also want to thank you for clearing up the age-old question of who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is...
Yes.
Nobody.
The answer is nobody, because he was entombed in Grant's tomb, not buried. Groucho Marx's question was always good for a laugh.
Indeed. Okay, I want to thank you so much again. The book, When General Grant Expelled the Jews, by Jonathan Sarnes, by Schocken Books, available where fine literature can be procured. And thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Before we get to the music, which is coming up, we're going to blow shofar because it is the month of Elul, and in preparation, just to get us aroused and in the mood. And I keep on saying, I've been making the same joke for 17 years, that one day I'm going to learn how to play in the mood on the shofar. But it hasn't happened yet, so don't worry, folks. You have nothing to fear. And then we're going to go, because I'll probably be out of breath by the time we're done this, we're going to go straight to the Moshav Band, has a new CD. And the piece we're going to listen to is a piece called Light the Way. We're going to blow the shofar first and back out graciously to the strains of the Moshav Band just for you.
Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got some cutting edge, recently released, like very recently, like this week. This is Lipa, and the song is called Mizrach, which means to the east. It's got a really cute music video. He's kind of like doing the alley cat to it, so it's like really cool. So let's just listen in.
Mizrach, Mizrach, Marev, Marev, Lemalo, Lemata, Lemalo, Lemata, Durem, Durem, Tzofen, Tzofen, Lemalo, Lemata, Lemalo, Lemata, Mizrach, Mizrach, Marev, Marev, Lemalo, Lemata, Lemalo, Lemata, Durem, Durem, Tzofen, Tzofen, Lemalo, Lemata, Lemalo, Lemata, Mizrach, Marev, Durem, Tzofen, Mizrach, Marev, Durem, Tzofen, 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 Vikabe, Nidach,
yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach at 248-613-1804, 613-1804. And visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to feel better? Yes. Feel balanced? Lisa Cohen. Check her out. Check out her website. It's really fascinating. Lisa Cohen, Ayurvedic. If you don't know how to spell Ayurvedic, just go to Google and type in the word Lisa Cohen, and it just comes right up. Easy as pie. Anyway, speaking of pie, Rosh Hashanah is coming up in 2 weeks, and one of the liturgical pieces which is sung is Avinu Malkeinu, which is our Father, our King. So we have Yossi Azulai is giving his rendition of this liturgical piece. Let's listen in.
Avinu Malkeinu, Shema Kolenu. Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefanecha. Avinu Malkeinu, Chamol Aleinu, Ve'alol Aleinu, Ve'tapenu.
Avinu Malkeinu,
some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Kisavo. It is to be found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 27 and following. 26 and following. It has been mandated that this portion be read 2 weeks prior to Rosh Hashanah. In it are 98 verses of curses. All kinds of horrible things that the Almighty promises are going to befall us if we don't keep our acts clean. So it's kind of like a purging idea that before Rosh Hashanah, we should be getting our acts together and doing the right thing at all time. This is, people ask me, well, what happens if you do the wrong thing? So I say, oh, well, the best thing is don't do the wrong thing. Always do the right thing and you have to worry about it. And that's sort of like what this whole deal is. Before Rosh Hashanah, this is the time to make our New Year's resolutions, not wait for Rosh Hashanah itself. Oh, and this I'm going to do it now because it's easier now. It says these days, the months of Elul, everybody's relaxed. It's still vacation time. Listen, it's only Labor Day over here. Okay, you know, the day after tomorrow, everybody's got to be like back to the grind of things. But until the 15th of September, which is the day before Rosh Hashanah, the example is like sort of like God is on vacation. He's having a good time. He's kicking it back. He's chillaxing. And he doesn't mind. Come and talk to him now. But you have to have a plan. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what I really mean business. And so that's what the deal is with the portion of Kisavo. It's a time to get ready. So let's get ready. Speaking of getting ready, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we have a great Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to rabbifinman.com. We have archived editions of the show. We have archived editions of the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U story. We have the very important donation page. It's Rosh Hashanah. God wants to make sure that your charitable donations are on the up and up. The Jewish Hour is a worthy recipient of your pre-Rosh Hashanah donations. Do it today. Don't like using websites? Drop a check or money order in the mail to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Very quickly now, the Hasidic story. There was this person by the name of Shpela Zeta, lived at the end of the 1700s, was a very formidable rabbi, and when he said things, they happened. He had a disciple who had come to him for like 10 years asking him, Rebbe, please, can I have a blessing for a child? And he told him he'd always push him off. One day he decided that he's not going to leave until he gets the blessing. So he went to the rabbi. It was kind of like before Rosh Hashanah. And he said to him, Rabbi, I want a blessing. He said, not now, I'm busy. So he said, Rabbi, I'm not leaving until you give me a blessing. He said, I told you, I have other things I have to worry about right this now. He said, Rebbe, I'm standing right here. He said, the rabbi turned to him and said, I swear, you will never have a child. he heard this and like, oh my goodness, he ran out of there. On his way home, he stopped at an inn and he noticed somebody there. A young man was just sitting and learning. And he asked, he saw this very person. He went over to him and he said to him, Rebbe. He said, I'm not a Rebbe. And he told him what happened. And he said, I swear that you will have a child. This person was the Rebbe known as Pinchas Karitzer, known as Pinchas Horowitz. This now caused a big tumult up in heaven. We know this because this story comes to us from the Halakhic original Rebbe, who said you had one tzaddik saying you're never going to have a kid. One tzaddik says you're going to have a kid. What did they do? They investigated. They decided that whichever tzaddik never took an oath before, that's the one they're going to listen to. So it happened that Pinchas Karitzer won the deal. A year later, they had a nice baby boy. But you don't want to mess with a tzaddik in any vision, because when this kid was 17 years old, unfortunately, he got involved with the wrong crowd. He broke into a church, was caught. And in Poland at that time, breaking into a church was a capital offense. And unfortunately, they did not live happily ever after. So point being, it's time for Rosh Hashanah. Got to check everything that we're doing, and hopefully everything will be on the up and up. I always play something klezmeric, so we're closing now with the Budapest Trio playing the Mazel Tov Tanz. Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again and back again next week. Take care.